One of the few points of agreement between President Trump and Democratic leaders in the Senate was supposed to be funding for infrastructure, but the practicality of that is off to a rough start. Yesterday, the president unveiled a 10-year, $1.5 trillion proposal, but true federal investment looks more like $200 billion, and some are concerned that rural areas are clearly prioritized over more urban areas, places that tend to lean Democratic on Election Day. With me to explain more of what the plan does and does not propose is Adi Tomer, fellow in the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. So, Adi, what did yesterday's proposal tell you about the administration's priorities?
The unquestioned priority that the Trump administration broadcast to the country yesterday was that spending more on infrastructure is where they want to go. There is no direction in terms of what kind of programming they'd like to see, and they clearly would prioritize outside rural areas, markets that are willing to put as much skin in the game as possible. That is a major departure from where we've seen federal infrastructure policy in the past, and that could run them into some problems as these ideas go up to Capitol Hill.
So what does this mean in terms of what we've heard for a number of years with a number of different areas, the public-private partnership? Does this put more emphasis on that than we've seen in the past?
Yeah, there's multiple parts of this proposal that emphasize more opportunities for private financing to come into play in public infrastructure investments. Some of that's going to find a really strong audience through very targeted reforms. What we're already seeing big pushback in the through public channels have been is on the spending side, specifically this $100 billion incentives program that prioritizes not just private financing, but all kinds of different new forms of public revenue, basically. And there's some real pushback because of the markets that are unlikely to be able to either generate their own new revenue or attract private capital in the ways that would best fit their community's needs.
Now, in average lives, when we hear hundreds of billions of dollars, of course, many of us still blanch at that. But when it comes to what the needs of the country are, at least what many have said the needs of the country are when it comes to infrastructure, is there a more reasonable number to you? And I'm saying it pie in the sky. Would it be $5 trillion? Would it be something like that? And do these numbers sort of pale in terms of what is needed, regardless of what the priorities may be?
Yeah, these numbers aren't going to add up to folks on Capitol Hill and frankly, a lot of interested parties across the country that work in D.C. or have their interests represented in D.C. because it's not a real number, right? There's a $200 billion figure that the administration is touting will attract an additional $1.3 trillion in spending. It's really tough to find math that makes that work. But even the $200 billion from the federal government is actually paid for via cuts to current infrastructure programs. So this is why you're seeing Senate and House Democrats come out pretty full-throated about this, that this is not an actual federal infrastructure spending program, or at least one that's an increase. So that's really offended people's sensibilities that are looking to invest more in infrastructure.
So if the priority, at least at this point with what the Trump administration is saying, has to do more with rural areas than some of the big cities, does that indicate that certain things like major rail projects or fixing certain bridges or New York to New Jersey tunnel, whatever it may be, that those are deemed not important? Or is that seen as things that are simply too expensive and this administration doesn't want to spend on that?
Yeah, the administration has really actually punted on saying any kind of project is more or less important than others. They want states and localities to make that decision for them. And in some ways, that can be applauded, right? Whether it's a governor or a mayor or a county commissioner, they may be more attuned to the exact needs of the constituents and the businesses that they represent. But it's not only a huge break from past federal policy, where we actually do set priorities at the national level, which most of us, frankly, defend that approach. We're also unsure of exactly which kind of projects will end up coming out of this, right? Will it just be the lowest hanging fruit? Will it be the projects that are most influential in terms of boosting America's economic competitiveness, connecting more people to opportunity? That's what's kind of left up in the air. It's really hard to say there's a specific project or even category project that wouldn't necessarily get support here because so much is open-ended in what they released.
Does it seem like, though, as a number of critics have said, that some of the big cities and some of the big states that tend to vote Democratic got a little bit of a needle from this from the administration yesterday, basically saying, okay, California, not real concerned about you, New York, New Jersey, and then a city like Chicago as well?
The biggest concern we have geographically is for a mix of states that have no rural elements to them. So think of a place like New Jersey, right, where it's not just suburban New York and suburban Philadelphia, but really it's metropolitan areas in the middle there around Trenton. California, as you mentioned, would fit into that group too. It's also communities that don't have economic tailwinds, places that aren't growing fast, whether in terms of population or their economies. Those states and places could be left out in the cold in this proposal. And again, major departure from past federal policy, which always had an avenue for any kind of place to find support and partnership with the federal government.
I go back to a phrase President Obama, I think, used, which was shovel-ready projects, sort of coming out of the Great Recession. And there's this feeling as well that one of the things that at least some Democrats in the Senate had said when President Trump had talked about putting money into infrastructure was the idea this is something that could be an economic driver. Now, the economy seems to be doing pretty well for most people at this point, so I'm not sure that that's as big a concern. But is there a situation where maybe this would be a missed opportunity to be an economic driver based on at least so far what the Trump administration is proposing? Obviously, as you said, the Senate and the House have not gotten their hands on it yet.
Yeah, the timing from a macroeconomic angle is not ideal for this proposal. We are at structurally full employment, effectively, in the United States. And in particular, construction unemployment is extremely low relative to where it was, obviously, in the depths of the Great Recession. So there's no need for a kind of economic stimulus direct to households. We just enacted fiscal stimulus already through the new tax law. The budget deal will do only more of that. So there are real questions on whether the timing of this could even work, forgetting the fact that it's certainly not ideal by any economic model that you could run.
Adi Tomer is a fellow in the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. Adi, thanks for the time today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for inquiring with us.